Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, maybe we should just break down the baseball schedule again, game by game. Nah, let's do some other stuff. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for Tuesday, bitches. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the Rona Lord. Tyler
That's
Scott.
Not a good name.
No, you're beating the Rona. You're beating it down. Felt like calling you that today.
No, I don't like that.
Tyler Scott, he of no nickname. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN, your number. 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-L-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Tyler Drew Scott. You can text the show. You know the number for that. I have my computer back, so I'll be reading all the texts today. And you can comment on the Twitch channel. You know where that is. Just go on there and put your comments on. We will rock and roll. It's going to be a fun day. I know it's a Tuesday. Usually everybody's in a bad mood. Don't be. I'm in a really good mood today, Hoffman.
Well, good.
For a Tuesday.
Why such a good mood?
Well, like you yesterday, 40 hours without alcohol now. Ooh, almost officially.
I'm up to, I mean, listen, what's 40 plus 24?
That's a lot.
I'm up to like...
To the old NCAA tournament.
100 hours or something. Like crazy.
Yeah. But that and I kept my little poker streak alive. I played the little afternoon tournament today. Third.
Congratulations.
So it's 2/3, 2/2. Didn't make much, but it was fun. And I did something different. I got to the final table without the short stack. Of course,
it didn't take
long to become the short stack again. But hey. So, yeah, good day, man. Just ready to rock and roll, have some fun. Got a bunch of work done on the projects that I've got going on the side here for the whole Gal Media Empire, and it's ready to have a fun show.
Yeah.
So, oh boy, Titan fan still mad over us saying Tannehill didn't deserve his money yesterday. He led the league in passer reading and yards per completion. FYI, okay.
He's starting off the show talking about that.
Yeah, hey, let me.
Bro,
the Titan fan.
Good luck with Ryan Tannehill.
No, I'm glad you signed him. As somebody who wants to see the Texans win, I'm glad you gave him a bunch of money for one season. How many quarterbacks have sucked almost their entire career and then had one really good season and then kept being great?
Plenty, like. Ryan Tannehill.
And he's basically Case Keenum, right? He had 1 year.
This is what happens. I mean, Matt Castle. Like, you see these flashes
most of them.
And you're like...
Nick Foles.
Oh, man. And then you remember that Matt Castle was in a really good situation. Ryan Tannehill ended up in a really good situation.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry turned out to be arguably the best running back in the league last year. And...
Terrific offensive line. Easy to hand the ball off, and that opens up your passing game.
And they drafted a great, great receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, things just kind of fell into place for him. And that's cool. If you believe in him, cool. Yeah. Good on you. Yeah. I don't believe in him.
Yeah, go get a Ryan Tannehill tattoo on your junk.
Yes.
And believe in him all you want. But the conversation yesterday was, would I have paid that guy that kind of money for one season? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because that's the kind of guy that can have one good fill-in season for you. We see it all the time. And then they get paid, and what happens after that? Go ask Jacksonville how they feel about signing Nick Foles last year.
He's gone 1 year later.
Yeah.
That should let you know.
I mean, I don't want to get into the whole whether or not you should pay these guys things again or not. Although I guess I'm seeing 40 to 42 for Watson. Now, you can have that, man. I'm not paying him that much.
Well, they will
because it's the Texans.
It's going to happen, and we're all going to go, oh, boy. And there's going to be people who are like, yeah, we got him. We got our guy. And he's ours now for a long, long time. And I'm warning everyone, listen. And someone tweeted today, and this is really what it boils down to. I got to find the tweet of who sent this. But it was like when he heard my reply, Mighty Joe, who listen, he's a regular contributor.
Okay.
He said, I heard Fred and AJ talking yesterday, and they said Watson has to do better to get that Pat Mahomes money. My question is, How can he do that with a trash-ass coach? And I replied, he can't. So why pay him like somehow Andy Reid is going to show up here tomorrow? Because he's not. You know what he's going to do with Bill O'Brien. So now you're just going to pay more to see it? That doesn't make any sense. And I get that the idea would be, we've got a quarterback, we got to stick with him, and we'll figure everything out around him. But it sure does feel like this organization is tied super tight to the Bill O'Brien wagon, doesn't it?
Yeah, see, I don't.
It's hard to get away from at this point.
It's going to take a real disaster for that to change. And I think they can. The problem is with where they are, they can win enough to where there's not going to be a disaster here.
Exactly.
And the problem is, what I want to see is, you've got to make one run with this group, right? And I just don't know that they have enough right now. And I don't know how you fix a defense without unless Anthony Weaver really is very good and improves that defense, then I don't see you taking that kind of jump this season. And then next season, you're going to have a lot of, you'll be able to keep a bunch of these guys, and you might be able to add a couple. But then after that, it's going to get a lot tighter.
Yeah.
When you're paying all these guys. So you better be drafting well. Well, guess what? You got another draft next year where you're short. And maybe if you'd gotten a first round pick for DeAndre Hopkins, mm-hmm. it'd have been better. But you didn't. So, I mean, I looking at it on the surface, it looks like a hard build. And your window's kind of now. And I just don't know if they're good enough. And I don't think this coaching staff's ever going to be good enough. And I could be wrong, but 6 years? And so he says, guys, he's definitely worth it. Look at Jared Goff. That worked out. Oh, wait. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Jared Goff, once you paid him, what happened to that roster? They had to get rid of people. And the Rams, I've always said, I love what the Rams did. They went for it. They got to a Super Bowl. They didn't win it. But now you're paying for the going for it a little bit. And the Brandon Cooks deal, they're the ones who eat the Brandon Cooks deal, not the Texans, paying him that kind of money. And you had to take some guys off that defense. So it's not easy to build around it when you're paying a quarterback that much, and especially when the cap goes down, which nobody believes me. Cap's going down.
Yeah.
But the Chiefs are going to run into this.
Of course.
The Chiefs are better at finding people.
They've got a little bit of time before they do.
Yes, but they've got a window here.
And Bernardo says, how many rings are Chiefs to expect from Mahomes now? Like, how many more rings would it take for Chiefs fans to go, you know what, this was worth it? My answer is one. Like, they got one.
Yeah, you get another
one. If you get one more, it doesn't matter how much money you paid the guy. It was worth it.
Yeah, how many quarterbacks have two Super Bowls?
You think Giants fans look back at how much money Eli Manning made over the years and go, oh, I can't believe we paid this guy that much? No, they look back and go, yeah, Eli Manning won two Super Bowls. Same with Ben Roethlisberger. You win more than one Super Bowl, no one's ever going to question how much money you made or if you made too much. It doesn't matter because you're a multiple Super Bowl winner. You're in a different category than anyone else. Like, it's pretty elite to have one Super Bowl win. Once you have multiple, I mean, Eli Manning's literally going into the Hall of Fame because of this.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame otherwise. Terry Bradshaw probably wouldn't be a Hall of Famer if he didn't have multiple Super Bowl wins. Troy Aikman probably wouldn't be a Hall of Famer if he didn't have multiple Super Bowl wins.
That's the only reason Troy Aikman's
It turns you from a guy who will always be remembered into a complete legend. And no one can question anything about
you. Why do you think Brett Favre kept chasing that other one with the Vikings?
Oh, he wanted it so bad.
And what do you think Aaron Rodgers is so frustrated right now? Because if you win one, yeah, okay, that can be done. Joe Flacco's got one too. But it does take you to a different level. So I think this is their window. I think the next 3 years. And then they're going to run into some trouble. And I don't know that, and you know, who knows? Patrick Mahomes may get all that money and get fat and say, I got paid. I don't think he'll do that. He doesn't seem like that kind of guy, but you never know.
And Sergeant in Baytown says, would you pay $40 million a year for 4 or 5 years if you're guaranteed a Super Bowl, asking for a friend? LOL. 100%. 100%. I'd pay him $50 million a year if it guaranteed a Super Bowl. But I mean, obviously, there's no way to do that.
Right. Right. You can't. It'd be nice to be able to say, all right, yeah, if I spend this, I'm going to win. But teams have done that for years, right? They've tried to spend a whole bunch of money to win. Doesn't always work out. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And, you know, somebody says Mahomes' contract has a ton to do with Andy Reid. Without Andy, Mahomes doesn't get paid. That's probably true. But let's, you know, let's give some credit to Mahomes. Because Andy Reid's been a really good coach for a long time. He's gotten a lot out of his quarterbacks. Donovan McNabb for years. And when McNabb would get hurt, he'd throw Detmers out there and win football games. I mean, the guy's really good with quarterbacks. And Alex Smith, he got a ton out of Alex Smith. But he also knew that it wasn't enough. And that's why they gambled.
He was also on thin ice because he couldn't win playoff games to save his life.
He was Marty Schottenheimer, really, for the longest time.
But here's the thing, though, and this is what I said this. I tweeted it at Jason Braddock last night, and he got all riled up about it.
Again?
Oh, yeah. Their first 30 minutes was about me and the crazy things I was saying how much I hate Houston.
I heard that. I also heard that you went to the hospital because your voice blew up. I'm
fine.
I kind of walked out right in front of you, and there was no EMTs here.
But I said, and it feels like Deshaun Watson fan, like Deshaun Watson's fanboys, his stands, whatever you want to call them, they're already preparing for the life of Vince Young fanboy, which if for some reason Deshaun Watson never wins a Super Bowl, doesn't live up to his potential, what does every Vince Young fanboy say why Vince Young didn't live up to his potential?
Jeff Fisher.
Yeah. Coach, Jeff Fisher. Coach ruined him. And it's, I mean, do I think that that's 100% inaccurate? No, but it's a relationship. It's a two. It takes two, baby.
It does.
It takes two and to tango.
And I want to make this. I don't think O'Brien is a horrible coach. I just don't think I think he's pretty mediocre and he's very limited. And I mean, the guy got to the playoffs with some garbage quarterbacks, but you know, now you don't have a garbage quarterback. You should be significantly better.
I think
they're really not. They're a little better.
I think even more importantly, especially when it comes to building a roster around a guy that you're now going to, you know, presumably give $40 million a year, I'm with you. I think Bill O'Brien's an okay coach. I don't think he's an awful coach. I don't think he's a good coach. I think he's mediocre.
he's like what this franchise has been from the beginning.
But I do think he is a very, very below average general manager. And I think that's where it's going to really cost his team.
And I think there's too much on-the-job training going on with his GM role. I think there's some moves he's made that I don't hate. But there have also been some, you know, we've talked about it. He pays sticker price for everything. I love that he got Laremy Tunsil. I hate what he paid for him. I don't like that he didn't get enough for Jadeveon Clowney. I don't like that he didn't get enough for DeAndre Hopkins. But then he made a nice deal to get Carlos Hyde last year. So, I mean, there's some moves at work. But there's also so much that are just huge swings and misses that you go, what the hell? All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz.
On ESPN 97.5.
Is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Houdini asks, what's the value of a Super Bowl? What I mean by that is how much does a franchise make winning a Super Bowl? I think it varies, but you think about all the gear they sell afterwards. I mean, you think about how much the Astros made from winning the World Series. I don't know what those numbers are, but I guarantee a team that wins a Super Bowl makes a bunch more money on merchandise. Not even close.
I mean, there is probably a number you can put on it, but it ain't easy to put a number on it. Think about how many organizations really have any experience doing it. I mean, and think about here's a good example. Think about how the value of the Patriots organization changed. I mean, think about what the Patriots were pre-Brady and think about what they've become post-Brady. Like, right. I mean, they were a laughingstock organization. They were like, they were probably fourth fiddle in their own town. And I mean, now you can make an argument for the Red Sox, but they're...
Well, the Red Sox were really, even up until the last couple Super Bowls, the Red Sox were still the biggest thing there. I don't know. I don't like Boston or go to Boston, so Boston fan can tell me. But the Red Sox are still a pretty big deal. And Jerome will even tell you that when he was up there covering the Patriots. All they cared about was whether or not Theo Epstein was staying. And that was when the Patriots had won Super Bowls.
But if I had told you January 2002, a month before they won their first Super Bowl. So let's just say I told you 20 years ago that 20 years from today, the Patriots will be a bigger deal in Boston than the Celtics. You probably would have laughed at me.
Yeah, I would have said, listen, you 19-year-old punk.
Yeah, you don't know anything.
Exactly.
So, I mean, now they are, not only have they become a huge thing in Boston, but they're one of the most valuable sports brands in the country.
There was a time they weren't before the Bruins, even.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. They were fourth place in their own. An NFL football team was fourth place in their own town.
Yeah. Can you guys stop patting yourself on the back for picking who won't win Super Bowls? Literally everyone can do it. Well, no, I'll dispute that in a second. Deshaun isn't the best, but he's the best we can do unless we tank. I want a Super Bowl.
That's the thing.
But I don't want to be Cleveland until that happens. And that's fine. You shouldn't be Cleveland. But first off, I don't think we're patting ourselves on the back.
No, I'm not.
I'm giving you an opinion based on the history of who wins Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And can Deshaun win one? Yeah. I don't think he can win it with his coach. That's the problem. And no, I don't think he'd get rid of him. By any stretch, I totally disagree with that concept and trying to tank and start over. I disagree with completely. But, I mean, I'm not signing the guy to a Patrick Mahomes contract. That's my only point. He hasn't done what Mahomes has done. That's it. If he'd already done it, okay. And, you know, and I say at least get to an AFC championship game. Almost anyone can get to an AFC championship game. We saw it last year with Ryan Tannehill. We saw it with Blake Bortles. Quarterbacks like that can get there. Case Keenum got the Vikings to one. It's an NFC championship game.
Yeah.
But how many of them go on and win Super Bowl? So not literally everyone can do it. Sorry, but that's just wrong. So,
and you can say you don't want to be the Cleveland Browns, and I get that. No one wants to be the Cleveland Browns. Let me read these numbers to you.
Okay.
These are the winning percentages since 2000. Of NFL franchises. And so we're in the last 20 years. Number one is the Patriots. And obviously they've won.
Shocker.
They've won several Super Bowls since then. Number two is the Steelers.
And you know what? The Steelers, let's take this conversation for a second before we continue this.
Okay.
Let's take the Steelers since they won their Super Bowl. Probably pretty close to what the Texans are. Win the division every now and then, get to the playoffs.
The difference was they had a history of winning
right
behind them.
Right. But, I mean, as of now, this, if you could be the Steelers without the Super Bowl, would you do it? And that's the number two team you just mentioned there.
65% winning percentage in the last 20 years.
So, yeah, I mean, that's why you don't want to be the Browns. But go ahead.
Colts, 62.5%.
Makes sense.
They had two of the greatest quarterbacks, you know, the last 20 years. So, that works out. One of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Green Bay, sort of the same boat, 61%, had two all-time great quarterbacks in that stretch. The Eagles, 60%. Ravens, 58%. These are all, you notice all these teams have in common that they've won Super Bowls. Broncos, 58%. Seahawks, 56%. Saints, 56%.
You know what's interesting about that? The Colts and the Broncos on there, and both of them had donk seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Colts had that 2-14 in there. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
The first team that comes up that hasn't won a Super Bowl in the last 20 years, the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
52.6% winning percentage.
Hey, don't say that about the Cowboys haven't won in 20 years.
It's just a fact.
It upsets them.
And so you get into this stretch, there's four teams in a row, in fact, who didn't win a Super Bowl. Cowboys, Falcons, Chargers, Vikings. Here's some teams below them.
And so you think of the Falcons and Vikings as pretty good teams over the years, right?
Oh, yeah. Well,
I do.
But here's my question, because, here's a couple teams below them. The Giants are at 50%, 507 winning percentage.
Okay.
Would you rather have the Giants last 20 years or the Cowboys last 20 years?
I'd rather have the Giants because they...
But why?
Because they had a couple Super Bowls.
Now, here's the thing. Arizona, 436. They've had a Super Bowl in the last 20 years.
Appearance, yeah.
Didn't they win one?
No, they lost to the Steelers.
I thought...
Nope. Dude, I'm supposed to be the one losing my memory.
You're right.
Yeah, that was a Santonio Holmes catch in the end zone.
Nope, you're right, Yeah. The Cardinals have been to a Super Bowl. They've been to... I think they've been to another NFC Championship game in that run, right, with Kurt Warner?
I don't remember. It's easy to remember Super Bowls, championship games. Yeah.
They are right there with your Houston Texans. They are basically in the exact same region. I was wrong. Yeah, they lost the NFC Championship in 2015 to the Panthers on Cam Newton on his way.
Yeah.
That was Bruce Arians.
They had to go to Carolina, right? And they got clobbered. Yep. Yeah.
So two Super Bowl appearances in the last 20 years. The Texans have a better winning percentage, 445. Would you rather have done what the Cardinals have done in the last 20 years or the Texans? Are those extra couple wins, like, what are they worth?
Well, I think that depends on what you want as a fan, right?
Here's another one.
Because, I place more importance on getting to a Super Bowl and winning a Super Bowl than I do four division titles. But that's just me. Some fans are okay with that.
The Tampa Bay Bucks, 43%. So they are 26th in the league in winning percentage in the last 20 years. They won a Super Bowl. Would you rather be the Texans in the last 20 years or the Bucks?
It just feels like that. See, 20 years, too, that's another thing. Maybe 10's a better gauge because a lot of people weren't alive for that Bucks championship or don't remember it. It does feel like a lifetime ago.
My point being, you say...
I get your point.
I don't want to be the Cleveland Browns or I don't want to be the Detroit Lions or whoever, whatever crappy franchise you want to throw out there. You know who's got a better winning percentage than the Texans in the last 20 years? The New York Jets.
Jets got to a championship game 1 year under Rex Ryan. But
so again, the Cincinnati Bengals.
The 20-year thing, too, is kind of, to me, when you're talking about it now, it was a little different with an expansion franchise. But, of course, you're going to suck the first three seasons. So those numbers are going to be skewered downward. And to me, you should be doing it in 10-year increments because I think after 20 years, your Super Bowl doesn't count anymore. I'm sorry about that, Cowboys fan. I know you don't want to hear that. But 20 years is the lifetime of somebody who's almost eligible to drink. And, you know, that whole group is gone. The guys who won it 20 years ago are either dead or retired.
Yeah.
So, yeah, to me, I look at it in 10-year increments. And with 32 teams, realistically, not every team can win once every 10
obviously
years. But you'd like to be in the mix, right?
You know, I that's what my point is. I mean, at the end of the day, you've got the same to show for your last 20 years or your last 10 years as the Bills or the Jets
right.
or the Browns or the Bengals. Like, you haven't won.
But
I'm a big believer in it, take the chances, take the risk necessary to give yourself a shot. You know what I mean? And a lot of people are like, well, it's kind of nice being 9-7 every year.
Yeah, but your whole point's getting back to getting rid of Bill O'Brien, and we know it's not going to happen. I mean, that's your issue. Is Bill O'Brien the head coach, Bill O'Brien the GM? Unless he somehow magically transforms into something. But really, everything else is meaningless. If you're talking about taking a chance, that's the chance you have to take.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it really doesn't matter. And listen, there are fans who are happy with four division titles. There's a lot of them out there. They're wearing their AFC South champion T-shirts. And that's okay if that's what your goal is. And apparently it is over there. Wouldn't be for me.
That's what I'm saying. I would rather take the chances that I could win one Super Bowl over a 10-year span than, you know, be the 15th best team in the league and never win a Super Bowl in that 10-year span. I'd rather be one of the worst teams, you know, and 7 or 8 of those 10 years.
I agree with you 100%. But there's a lot of people who don't. There's a lot of people who don't want to sit through 2-14, 2-14, 3-13, so that they can go 10-6 and then 13-3.
I'll take that every time. If it ends in a Super Bowl.
No, I will too, but.
Because that's what the Giants did in the last 10
years. But the problem
even in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Because the Giants won one Super Bowl in the last 10 years.
Right.
And for the most part, other than that Super Bowl run, the Giants were dookie.
Yeah.
I'd much rather have the Giants last decade than the Texans.
And again, I'm agreeing with you, but I understand why people don't feel that way, because especially. And I had season tickets for the first 2-14 season for the Texans, the one where they wound up drafting Mario Williams.
Mm-hmm.
That was no fun.
I'm sure it wasn't.
No fun to sit through 2-14 and spend a bunch of money every week for a team that sucks. Now, extrapolate that over 3-4 years, you know, that sucks.
Yeah, but you know what? So you, but then if that Super Bowl comes, how much more fun is that than sitting through endless 9-7 or 8-8 seasons?
Except by the time you get there, you know, who knows? I mean, that there's no guarantee of that. I'd rather have a team that at least gives me a little bit of hope every year. That I it's like, you know what? I got an elite quarterback. This team's at least going to make the playoffs. If he can do a Joe Flacco run, maybe they can upset everybody. And that's the problem. They're just selling that hope. Because realistically, I look at this.
I guess that's the option. That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
And I have a buddy who isn't, you know, he got the email from the Texans. Like, do you want to renew your season tickets? And he was like, Nah. And they offered him like all this Texans bucks. Like, hey, if you buy these now, we'll give you like all this extra money to spend at the stadium on gear and beer and whatever, food, whatever you want to spend it on. And he was like, And then they said, well, how about you just let us hold your money until next year and we'll see where we're at then. And he was like, nah, just give me my money back. And I said, this is a guy with a stable job, a guy who makes pretty good money. And it's not like, you know, it's not like buying the tickets, even if they do play games,
right,
would be extremely detrimental to his quality of life. Okay, it's not like he's putting, you know, a big chunk of his life into these games. But he said, dude, I just didn't want to go. I didn't want to spend money on watching this team this year. I don't want to go watch another 8-8, 9-7 team. It's not fun. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him. To me, hope is when you go 2-14 and you got a chance to draft the next big thing. To me, hope isn't 8-8, 9-7.
No, but like, hope, that's not hope, hope is not me. Hope is not 2-14 when you're the Browns and it happens every single year.
That's fair.
Year. But Texas Tiger brings up a real good point. I had a similar debate with an OU fan recently. If I told you over the next 3 years, I'd guarantee you either make the playoffs all 3 years and not win once or even be competitive, or you can only make the playoffs but win a title. And he gets into that. And I would say the difference
in 3 years, it's not even close. It's not even a question.
Well, but if you're OU, I mean, last year you knew you had no chance. Let's be honest. That's the first time you might as well not have even made it. But you didn't feel that way the prior 2 years.
Right.
The Mayfield year and the Kyler Murray year, you felt like you had a chance. You just weren't good enough. But, yeah, I don't think it's a fair comp, because getting into the playoffs in college football is a hell of a lot harder. I mean, you're talking about four teams. And, yeah, LSU had some not so great years there for a while and then had one massive one. And I'm with you. I would take that over being OU. But at the time, in the moment, until last year, OU thought they had a chance every time. Whether they really did or not is, you know, that's a different debate. There's a bunch of stuff I want to get to on the text line and whatnot here as well. So,
all right, I got to tell you guys about Pro Dunk Hoops. ProDunkHoops.com. That's the website where you'll go when you want to buy the best basketball goal in the world. In the world. And I say that knowing, because there's one sitting out in my driveway, and my kids are out there on it every single day. Corona times have taken away a lot of things from them. They don't get to go to the park. They don't get to go to the water parks or amusement parks. They don't get to go. They don't get to go hang out with their friends as much. You know what? They can never take away the goal from Pro Dunk Hoops, because it's out there and it's just my two boys, and they get out there and get after it every day. They've got something to do, and it is glorious. And it looks great in my driveway too. I was a little worried about the curb appeal, but this thing is really, really nice. It's got a rust armor finish. 30 years maintenance free. It's perfect for this Gulf Coast weather. And they've got a design to fit your home, your driveway, your backyard. It looks like I stole the goal out of the gym at Toyota Center. Like I went in and I just grabbed it and made a run for it. That's how nice this thing is. Get your new hoops goal today. See it all at ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com or give them a call 281-351-9822 for Pro Dunk Hoops.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Okay, so guy who was telling us to stop patting yourselves on the back says, literally everyone can pick who won't win a Super Bowl. It's like bragging that your NCAA bracket won't be perfect. All right, I'm going to be really nice here. If you've been day drinking, I kind of get it. And if not, I don't know what conversation you're listening to, because we're talking specifically about quarterbacks and what teams can do it, not literally. And that's twice you've misused literally. So maybe go look that word up.
It's tough for people.
I know. But listen, I'm all for responding to people. But if you don't understand English, ¿cómo se dice? Try another show in Espanol? That's why I said over the last 10 years, how many times have the Texans been Super Bowl contenders? 2, 3? I really think 1. And that was the year Schaub got hurt. That was a good football team that really had a chance. And really good one from 713. The Astros would be a good comparison. They were garbage for several years before they
totally
were
worth it, wasn't it?
Not at the time, it wasn't. And, you know, and especially at the end of the Drayton McClain years, they weren't even trying. There was no effort there whatsoever. And when Crane bought them, it's like they had a plan. But, boy, it looked – if you remember, there was time – now, it was more fun to go to games then,
right?
Because there were fewer people.
Yeah.
And you could get better seats. Yeah. And the team always lost. But you just get drunk. But, you know, I think the better comparisons, maybe the Rockets –
because I mean, the Rockets, I think, are what the Texans are. Well, they're competitive every year. Yeah. They never suck enough to get a high draft pick. They just
and the Texans had the one.
The Texans, every once in a while, they'll bottom out.
Right.
And,
but for the most part, they're going to be 8-8, 9-7. Yeah. And that was the Rockets. And it's kind of still the Rockets. The Rockets are a little better in the regular season. Although, I don't know. Is 53 wins about the same as 10 wins in football? I don't know. I don't know the comparison. Raider fan knows how things feel. 936, AJ, I appreciate your unbiased analysis. Fred sounds like a homer.
I think Fred's he's playing devil's advocate, and he's seeing it from a fan's perspective that is maybe harder for me to see.
I'm trying to explain it from a fan's perspective I don't agree with.
Yeah.
But I understand it, and, you know, I'll also tell you must be new, 936. Texans, they hate me a hell of a lot more than they hate AJ, so... If I'm a homer, you might want to call Bill O'Brien and tell him that.
Texans fans hate you more than me?
No, not fans. The Texans themselves.
Oh, the organization.
Yeah.
They don't even know my name.
Yeah, they're
but
not.
I also don't wear Roughnecks hats on Twitch.
Well, that's tough bleep.
But you're blatantly rubbing it in their face.
Yeah, that's one of my friends who's been a ticket holder since day one opted out for next year's season tickets. And, see, I think there's a lot of fans who are just frustrated with this, that this is as far as they can go, and it goes back to Bill O'Brien. And... you know, it's going to sound like a homer, but I don't think this franchise can win with Bill O'Brien. I think they've gone as far as they can go. They're not going to bottom out. He's not bad enough for them to bottom out again.
Which, by the way, it wasn't all that long ago we had this exact conversation about Gary Kubiak.
Yeah.
And it's not that nobody said Gary Kubiak's not a good coach. We just said the Texans have gone as far as Gary Kubiak can take them.
Yeah. And that was true at the time. And the reality is, you kind of go back and look at that and all the things that went wrong, Schaub melting down, Kubiak having health issues. But then when he got to a team that, I mean, that Broncos team was very similar to what he had at the Texans when they were at their best. The difference was that, you know, that team played better defense down the stretch and had a quarterback they could win with. And that was the difference. But, yeah, would I rather have Gary Kubiak here now? Yes.
Yeah.
I would love to see what he could do with Deshaun Watson with all those bootlegs. And he had to do it with Matt Schaub because Matt Schaub was a glacier. But you get him outside the pocket, he actually had space and he could take his time and he could find receivers. Man, if you did that with Deshaun Watson now, and some of those little silly plays that he did where he bootlegged the quarterback out and then throw the ball across the field to a tight end who was standing there wide open because nobody was covering him because he's on the wrong side of the play. And they ran the ball really well. I'd love to see that offense with Deshaun Watson. I really would, because I think it would be a lot more effective. But that's just, that's just me. That's just my opinion. You say the Astros was worth it, but they are viewed as cheaters. I don't care if they're viewed
who
as cheaters.
Who cares about that?
Yeah.
Who cares what you're viewed at once you win the championship? A lot of people think the Patriots are cheaters. They are. Do they give their rings back? No. They're still the champions. Sorry. It's not like college football where or college basketball where Louisville didn't win the tournament that year. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I saw them win. No, nope, yeah. Didn't happen. There was no winner that year. It was a really weird tournament. I kind of saw it with my eyes.
You know, you can read Thursday's Sports Map column, which is about that topic specifically. But they're viewed as you by a cheater.
Yeah.
Top leap. Guess who doesn't care? Astro, who has his ring.
Nope.
Real Astros fan doesn't care.
This is what I tell Astros fans all the time. When you stop caring what other fan bases or what media outlets think of the Astros championship, you will be liberated.
Yeah.
Just don't care. Like, don't worry about what they think, because they don't impact it.
Quit pointing fingers at everybody else. And you know what? Just enjoy it. You can view them whatever you want to view them as if you're not an Astros fan. Who cares? Guess who else doesn't care? Patriots fan. You think they're going to say, oh, we didn't win those titles? I still don't know why the Patriots had to cheat against the Bengals. But hey, whatever works, right? If you're great, that's what you do. Name me somebody who's been great that hasn't cheated, and I'll call you a liar to your face. And that's kind of, I don't want to give away too much in my column for Thursday, but that's the truth. So is Bill Belichick the greatest coach ever or the greatest cheater? Maybe he's both.
It's entirely possible.
You know, and don't even get me started on the Royd era or anything else. Everybody in sports tries to cheat. They all look for an edge. It's about time you guys accepted that. It's a Blitz on ESPN 975.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 975. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Admiral on Twitch says, that's a ridiculous argument. They all cheat, so stop caring about them cheating. I don't care about cheating. I got to tell you. That's up to you if you want to. But let me just throw a few things out there. And people are like saying, "Oh, I doubt Griffey cheated." We don't know.
I've heard that too. If you bet in your house that King Griffey Jr. never tried steroids, zero chance. I am. I'll tell you that.
And somebody mentions Wayne Gretzky. Well, maybe you guys don't remember this, but the Stanley Cup when he was with the Kings against the Canadiens, one of his teammates had an illegal stick, cost him a penalty, wound up costing him the Stanley Cup. You don't think he knew about that? Everyone who's great tries to push it, and it's up to you to judge what's pushing it too far. And your beloved Astros, let's go back to the 86 season. Mike Scott scuffing balls. You know what? He was scuffing balls. You know what else? The Mets went and scuffed a bunch of balls to try to show the media that he was scuffing balls. They're both doing it. And, I mean, that Billy Hatcher with the cork bat. I heard Creighton and those guys talk about it last night. You know what really happened there? Everybody in the dugout knew, hey, Dave Smith's bat's corked. So if you wanted need something, of course, he hits it on the handle, the bat breaks and cork flies everywhere. Because Dave Smith is not going to use his bat. But it was there, and everybody knew about it. So when Hatcher wanted to, use a cork bat, he went and took Dave Smith's bat. So listen, this stuff has been going on forever. Everybody does it. Everybody looks for an edge. Stop being naive. That's my whole point. If you're going to sit here and be indignant about every time somebody gets caught, for one thing, you're wasting your damn time. But for the other is you judge each one for what it is. The Astros, of course, went too far. Of course they did.
One of the best Astros pitchers of all time, Joe Niekro.
Yeah. What do you think he was doing?
You think it only happened in Minnesota?
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, and then that's the thing. This is why baseball scandals are so stupid. You've got guys in the Hall of Fame who are admitted spitballers. Is that not cheating? Is it? If it's not, then what's your line? I'm all for trying to find an edge, man. And that's what the best do. Roger Clemens, I know, this is before your guys' time. You won't remember this. Roger Clemens was lauded for this incredible workout routine, right? It's like, look at his age. He's out. And, I mean, it was legendary. Well, it turns out he had a little help, allegedly. I still don't know that I buy that. But you praise him for that, and then you're going to rip him for the steroids?
Yeah.
I want my guys to push it. And so it's kind of, listen, I'm kind of putting this on you guys. You want your teams to do the best they can. All the greats are looking for an edge. The greatest players are looking for an edge because that's what makes them great. Somebody mentioned Michael Jordan pushing off. Michael Jordan took an extra step, created the basically eliminated traveling in the NBA. Still the greatest.
Yeah.
But he pushed the rules. They all do that. And he pushed the rules enough and they quit calling it on you. And you don't think Craig Biggio leaned into some pitches because he got hit 5 million times in his career?
Yeah.
So that's okay. That's the thing. It's if you want to have that debate, then take each one and say, okay, these guys went too far. But let's not pretend like everybody in every sport isn't looking for an edge. You don't think the best coaches have found things that other people haven't, and maybe it's skirting the rules? Yeah, I think you're being naive if you don't.
The whole point is, it isn't whether or not you should care that teams are cheating. But if you're the Astros, or you're an Astros fan, you shouldn't care what other people think
right.
about you cheating.
Do you want to be mad at them? Absolutely. And like you having to tell your kid, Altuve cheated. If you want to be mad at them for that, that's definitely your choice, and you should be your choice. But if you're all worried about what other people are saying, yeah. But this is pushing the rules during the game isn't really cheating if the ref doesn't call it. But, okay, so flopping. Everybody bitches about flopping, but isn't that a form of cheating? I mean, and so now I'm giving away my whole damn column. Tell me you guys have not played golf with somebody who you joked about his foot wedge. Or you played tennis with somebody who didn't call every single shot out. Whenever you were playing them.
Yeah.
Tell me you haven't seen that.
Or when you call your own fouls playing pick
yes.
up hoops.
Yes. And
your shot's way off and you're like, oh God,
so
I can either look really bad or I can call it here.
Yeah. You guys don't think that athletes who are the best at what they are aren't doing the same damn thing when they can, when it's within their power? No. And I'm not saying, and you know what? I'm saying it's fine. Just don't get caught. Or, there are lines you can cross. And Pat in the 409, words of Blitzer, thought he would never hear Fred as a Texans homer. Yeah, I've heard that. Somebody asked, do you think Mariano Rivera cheated? I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'm sure he tried.
I've said all along, and it's funny because people have short memories because I was talking to Joel Blank about this the other day because Joel Blank said something about Ken Griffey Jr. didn't cheat. And I was like, you really think that? Are you sure? And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I said, do you remember when A-Rod was the great hope to break Barry Bonds' record because he was clean?
Yeah.
It turns out A-Rod wasn't clean. I've always said, if I had to say one guy, give me one guy who I didn't think cheated, it's probably Ichiro.
I'd say Ichiro
before Jeter.
Yeah, probably, because Jeter was pretty well put together.
Yeah. But Jeter's up there.
But you know what?
It wouldn't shock me.
No.
I wouldn't bet my house on it.
If he came out and said, you know what, I dabbled, I'd been like, okay, one says, 59 North at Humble is a parking lot. Not sure what's going on. FYI for the Blitzers. Apparently, there was a really bad accident out there.
Or maybe it's just like back to normal.
Well,
somebody, we've gotten spoiled. I'll be honest. I've gotten spoiled like on 610 and 290, just driving in willy-nilly, just knowing that I'm never going to have to stop in the middle of the highway. It's really, it's gotten nice.
Going to the beach on Saturday, zero traffic.
You went to the beach?
Yeah. Well, I didn't go to the beach. I went to a beach house.
Oh, okay.
I didn't go to the beach.
Yeah, because the beach, no beach was closed.
Captain Corona.
Don't admit that.
Were you? did you participate in the protest?
There was a protest down there?
Yeah, there was a protest at the beach.
Did anybody
open the beach?
Did anybody actually show up for that?
See that? No.
I don't know. I hope not.
All I know is I saw on Facebook they were calling it Beach Lives Matter, and I'm like, okay, you people have got real issues. 281. So why do people get mad when Harden cheats? And
I don't get mad when he cheats. I'm just he's boring to me. I don't get mad about it. I just don't like watching it.
And somebody goes, someone 3 says, you should be upset if you know other teams are trying to get a competitive edge and your team isn't trying to negate that. Trust me, your team is trying. Maybe they're not as good at it. It's like anything in life, man. And if you're really good at something and you're better at it than somebody else, that's why the best teams win most of the time. And if it comes down to you're trying to cheat and they do it better, then, you know, everybody's trying to find some kind of edge. And I guess this column's going to do okay Thursday because I intend for this topic to take off the way it has. But whether or not it's okay, that's your judgment to make. It has nothing to do with but I mean, I just think people are naive if they think it's not happening. And I
mean, I'll say this. So I you know, I usually coach first base for my kids' baseball team. And there's been times where catchers are lazy sometimes, and they don't put their signs way in the back, and they don't keep their legs close together. And if I wanted to, I could easily relay signs to the hitter. I don't, because I don't think it's going to help you all that much anyway. At 12,
and at that age, I don't think you want to be doing that.
But that said, do I think that there's some other coach out there who's coached 12-year-old baseball?
Yes.
Who's like, I'm going to take every, because there's big money involved in that, I'm going to take every advantage I can. Yeah, for sure there are.
I'll give you a story.
And you know whose fault it is? It's whoever's coaching that catcher to not keep his legs closed enough.
Right.
It's not the first base coach's fault.
No.
That's just him finding inside information. You know, if he's got a camera out in center field and the hitter's got an earpiece in, now we're in a different conversation. But if your catcher's opened up too wide, that's kind of on the coach to say, hey, get it together, catch.
And then, you know, if you notice the other team's doing that, then that's, instead of bitching about it, that's what you do. Say, hey, you got to.
That's what
that.
I do. Yeah. That's kind of the way to go.
Somebody says 45 shut down at the Hardy, and also mention of Life Flight heading out there. So try to avoid that. But I do have a story about this, about an 8-year-old. Not the 8-year-old didn't cheat, but I want you.
8-year-old Fred.
It's somebody Fred knew. How's that? I don't want anybody thinking. Well, I think most of these coaches are dead now. But all right, we'll take a break. We'll talk about it when we come back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I got to tell you guys about Elite Health. And if you or someone you know is peeing too much, peeing at night, having trouble starting, it could be BPH, which is an enlarged prostate. And if you've been diagnosed with that, you don't need surgery, because surgery, after talking to Dr. Andrew Doe at Elite Health, surgery is really, really awful for this. It often involves a drill going inside your pee hole, which sounds like the worst thing ever. And then on top of that, like 5% of the time you get that procedure done, your junk just doesn't work anymore. That's horrible. So you got the drill, and now maybe your junk doesn't work. And Dr. Doe, he thought that was horrible too. So he said, you know what? I'm going to be the first doctor in Houston to do this procedure called PAE. It's an advanced, minimally invasive procedure. It uses X-ray technology to treat your prostate. You're in and out in a few hours. It's done right there in the office. And no one's done more of these than Dr. Doe. He's the guy you want. And PAE is also covered by most insurance plans. Skip the drill, guys. Call 832-860-4618. 832-860-4618. Check them out at choosepae.com.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.